stop paying those high retail prices for other optics that underperform. At Tracked Optics, we're passionate about creating the best optics for hunting and long-range precision shooting. We know that having the right equipment can make all the difference in your experience. That's why we use the highest quality materials and the latest technology to produce optics that are durable, reliable, and perform exceptionally well in any environment. For more information, visit trackedoptics.com. Again, that's trackedoptics.com. Upgrade today with Tracked Optics.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and this is 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Chris Kaufman is not here, but he will be at the game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as he is a Tampa resident. I was in Tampa, Simon, and we were wondering what would happen if all three of us were in the same place at the same time, which has not happened in about 25 years.
Chaos would have ensued.
Yes. We had a very, very good time. Paying for very expensive cigars, but at a cheap price. Cool. I kept remarking all night, my God, you sell this here in Tampa for like $25, when in Miami it's like
$38. It looked like Narcos Tampa, the photo.
Yes. Very, very nice place. It was Corona Cigar Company. They treated us very well there. Very, very nice place. And of course, later on in the night, who walks in through the door but Chris Perkins, David Ferones, and Adam Beasley.
Of course it did.
Yeah. So we recreated practice there at the cigar bar. So, but good time had by all. We had a very, very good time. All right. Talking about having a very, very good time, I don't think this game is going to be a very, very, very good time because I don't think many starters will play. But we're going to go over a few roster spots going into tonight. As always, this show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS. You make a $5 play, and they give you $50. I can't think of a better promo anywhere. And, of course, BetterEdge.com. Go to BetterEdge.com /5Reasons. You get $20 just for signing up. All right, Simon, they signed a few guys. I don't think they expect many of the starters to play, and maybe signing Anthony McFarlane and Xander Horvath just kind of, I don't know, telegraphs what they're going to do tonight. Maybe hand those guys the ball 60 times and just get the hell out of there and call it a preseason. But do you think that they, because look, we were there at practice. We saw what Xander Horvath looks like. That's an impressive human being. They don't make people that size, okay? Yeah. That look that good in practice.
My assumption would be that he's literally just there to fill the hole that has been vacated for the time being by Chris Brooks with the concussion, and obviously to try and run some two-back stuff because Alec Ingold won't play either. So he's 6'3", 230 pounds. He's bounced around the league a little bit with the Chargers and the Steelers and the Saints and stuff. He might end up as a practice squad guy. He runs a 4.6, so, you know, he's no slouch, but I'd expect it's quite, you know, in fact, I know it's extremely difficult for running backs in terms of just picking up the timing and the specificity of this offense in terms of how that timing works. So for Anthony McFarlane and Xander Horvath, obviously carries are important, but can they pick up the timing in terms of, you know, they're not going to have a lot of actual pure practice time with the players that they're going to be playing with, but the Dolphins also don't want to find themselves in a situation where they're having to play Jaquan Burton as running back for, you know, the fourth quarter plus, you know, as they were last week, and essentially just having to throw the ball all the time. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how those two play out. But I suspect that, you know, they're battling for a job that probably doesn't exist.
That makes a lot of sense. And Savon Ahmed's cut of the roster pretty much tells you they're keeping five, and we know the five, and one of them is going to be on the practice squad, which is likely to be Chris Brooks. Like, I don't think there's any secrets there, right?
I mean, I think Achan, Ingold, Mostert, Wilson, Wright make the team. And look, I think it'll come down to a numbers battle, you know, in terms of defensive linemen, defensive backs, wide receivers, offensive linemen, tight ends. Do they keep three tight ends or four? Do they keep five receivers or six? You know, do they keep 10 offensive linemen or nine? How many DBs do they keep? You know, because Chris Brooks to me would be a valuable player that would get snatched fairly quickly off a practice squad. And I think that is obviously the concern. You know, I saw people talking on social media about how Jeff Wilson should be. Yeah, Jeff Wilson isn't going anywhere unless he gets traded. You know, Jeff Wilson is a diamond in the eyes of the coaches for all the reasons that fans don't really understand. It's the minutiae of detail. It's the understanding of the position. It's playing special teams. It's being a great person in the locker room. But it goes back to the thing that we just talked about with timing, all those sorts of things. He is an extremely reliable player who knows the scheme, knows the system, has a complete understanding of what the coach wants and how it needs to be delivered. And I think fans overestimate that in terms of, you know, whether it's Jeff Wilson or, you know, player Z who comes in to replace Jeff Wilson, you also have to, you know, understand the amount of touches that player Z or Jeff Wilson are going to have. Is Anthony McFarlane going to take Jeff Wilson's spot on the team? No, he isn't. Why? If McFarlane might be 2% better pure runner, but Wilson is 80% better in terms of all the things that Mike McDaniel craves, wants, requires, respects, et cetera. Jeff Wilson is going nowhere.
Yeah, and 2 years here with the orange jersey, they have not cut. And I researched this because I went back and I looked at everybody who's won the orange jersey. They have not cut anybody that's worn the orange jersey, and Jeff Wilson wore it in this camp, so he won that from the coaches. He's not getting cut.
He's a guy
Moving
with
on
a
to the
4.5 yard per carry career average.
right. No, and he's a good blocker, and it was evident by watching him out there against the Bucks. They trust him. He gets
Yeah, of course I
snaps
do.
with the ones, you know. He's a guy that they look at, and they don't look at him as RB4. They look at him as a guy who could step in for one of the top two
Could
guys
be
because they're going to play
RB2.
two guys a lot, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if one gets hurt, you saw what he did against Dallas last year when we needed somebody to move the pile at the end of the game and win the game for us. And that's what he delivered.
Yeah, the way I think that the way that they look at the running back position on this team or the running back group is that they have two groups. The first group is Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane, and the second group is Jalen Wright and Jeff Wilson.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
All right, moving on to the tight ends. This is getting clearer by the second. Tanner Connor found himself participating. I don't think they can do anything in this game unless you disagree. Tanner Connor, Jody Fortson, like this is not going to happen for them. And maybe
No, I
Hayden
mean,
Rucci is the guy that can't sneak on as a fourth tight end.
yeah, I mean, I would be surprised. I mean, look, I don't think Connor makes the team. I think Rucci has a potential to make the team as a blocker, but probably ends up on the practice squad. Fortson is the interesting one, okay, because I've always said that I don't think he makes the team. My one caveat to that is that, and I think they will just keep three pure tight ends, Smythe, Smith, who they love, Hill, who they love. The question is around this receiving core, okay? You know, Beckham barely practiced, Craycraft injured, Ezekanma, we know the history here, Tyreek thumb injury, Waddle's been carrying an injury for weeks now. Malik Washington is a rookie. There is a possibility and a potential that Jody Fortson essentially operates as a big sixth receiver slash tight end slash special teams player, is somebody that can make plays down the field, but I would still be fairly surprised if he ended up making the team. I just don't think he's done enough. And you know, for all the athletic, you know, ability at 6 foot 4, 235 pounds, it's been a career thing. You know, there's a reason why he only caught 15 or 11 balls in his career. You know, and I think that's been shown during practice and during the games. And he really hasn't stood out when the Dolphins have needed him to step up and show them that he can be a guy you want to keep around.
All right, moving on to the offensive line, and yeah, we're gonna have to move on to the offensive line. Do you hold out as much hope as and we watched it. We watched it live, and we kept, we talked about it. You know, Chris and I, we sat there and we said, you know what, it'd be a a real big bonus for this team if Andrew Meyer can become that backup center, a guy that would just sit on the sideline all season until he is needed because Brewer went down. And that way you can concentrate on training on Liam Eikenberg at right guard or elsewhere. And, you know, have a true backup center. He seems steady. His tape is all right. Do you hold out as much hope as we do that maybe they found a true backup center in Andrew Meyer?
I mean, I just don't think I've seen enough of him, but my concern would be, and this is an educated guess, but I think it's touch and go with Aaron Brewer in terms of him being ready for week one. Right. I know he was back doing some cross training on the sideline, but the hand injury is, you know, that is an issue. And I think it's a race against time to get him ready. And I just think they'll go with Liam Eikenberg over Meyer. I just don't think he's done enough. I don't know this as fact. My concern about Eikenberg is obviously, you know, there are obvious long-term concerns, many of which involve him just being on the floor almost every snap, which to me is a huge yes. problem, I remember, is to you guys as well. So my concerns with the offensive line remain as they have done for the last 3 or 4 years. It's just not good enough, and it's unacceptable that we're still in this position where we have a left tackle held together by tape. We have a center who's not going to, we don't think, may not be available to start week one. We have a right tackle who's, you know, middle of the pack right tackle, and then we don't know what's happening at guard. You know, we re-signed Isaiah Wynn. You know, he doesn't play career-wise. He's never stayed healthy. We've talked about this ad infinitum since he joined. Robert Jones has been a career backup. He's a middling guard who, you know, he's fine. You know, he's fine. Is the answer no? And then you're battling out with Liam Eikenberg, who has summarily failed to, you know, play of a standard at pretty much any position that he's been tried out across the offensive line. And Jack Driscoll, a tackle who has had to kick inside because he's not good enough to play tackle. And frankly, is Jack Driscoll starting for the Kansas City Chiefs? Is he starting for the Ravens? Is he starting for the 49ers? You know, we continue to pass over players, and we look at guys that we talked about pre-draft, like Dominic Puni and all of it, Zach Fraser. You know, Zach Fraser started at center since day dot of training camp for the Steelers, has been unbelievable. Puni has been absolutely killing people for the 49ers. You know, there are offensive linemen all over that draft that have shown up big time in training camp and preseason, and here we are still bumming around with the same people. And the fact that we're having to rely on, is Chasen Hines going to be good enough? Is Andrew Meyer going to be good enough? You know, is Ryan Hayes going to be good enough? Is, you know, Lester Cotton? I just find the whole thing maddening. And I know that, you know, Greg Rosenthal talked about what we said on his new NFL podcast the other day, and it was, nothing has changed. But for, you know, Greg and for everybody else listening and those long-term fans of this show, nothing has changed for years. And it will be, and I hate to keep saying it, but it will be the indictment that will end up killing this team.
Yeah, and I don't understand the fascination with Lester Cotton, and I've given up on trying to explain it, you know.
On what, sorry?
I don't understand the fascination with Lester Cotton. And I've given up on trying to explain it. You know?
I don't think he makes a team, though.
Well, he keeps getting snaps, and that concerns me because they don't have a right guard right now if they're going to play Liam Eikenberg week one, which I suspect he will, because it's simple math. He has laceration on his hand, Aaron Brewer. A laceration, a lot of stitches. You're talking about 2 weeks to get the stitches out, 2 weeks to heal. That's a month. A month puts week one into danger. And he's probably ready 4 days later against the Bills. So I don't know if he's playing week one. If he's not playing week one, that means Liam Eikenberg is lining up at center.
Do not be surprised if the week one offensive line against the Jaguars is Kendall Lamb at left tackle, Robert Jones at guard, Liam Eikenberg at center, Jack Driscoll at right guard, and Austin Jackson at right tackle. Do not be surprised if that's the... And if that's not the five that start, I'd strongly suspect that'll be the five that finish.
Well, Teron Armstead was looking stylish on the sidelines with really expensive sunglasses.
On the sidelines.
Yeah, but he always grabs reps whenever they do the install. He runs right in there. I always found that funny. He's always taped up. He has his wrist braces on. He has his ankles taped. He's ready to go. And all he does is run in to get a few snaps in the install, and then he goes right back out as soon as they're going to do anything. By the way, speaking of style, What do you make of our head coach's new look? Like, I'm over
Yeah,
the
I
moon with
mean,
it. I
talk
love
of Narcos Tampa. He's Narcos Miami. I mean, he's become, drug trafficante, the way he looks, that kind of those sunglasses and that hair and the beard and the tan. And yeah, he is a
Yeah,
Narcos
well, that happens. That happens down here. That's the Miami starter
Tampa. Yeah,
kit. You
clearly.
always do something with your hair, and you always buy really overpriced, expensive sunglasses. Like it's a requirement down here. It'll happen to you too if you ever move down here. Trust
Of
me.
course. I mean, he is, Fabio Ochoa for the Generation Z. He's
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
On the receivers, I don't think there's much to talk about. It's that back end of the group that I don't think is very good, and I think they're going to be scouring the waiver wire for wide
Or
receiver six,
trade,
wide receiver
I believe.
five.
Yeah, I mean,
You have anything
definitely.
on Jaden Jankey? I guess is that, by the way, do we even pronounce his name that way? Jankey.
It's Yankee.
Okay.
I think that I would be surprised if there was a trade at some point. I think there's a concern. We've talked about this for a while. There is a concern in terms of actually, it's pronounced Yonkey. I knew it was different. Jaden
He looks great, by the way. We were there. We saw him in person. Good looking athlete.
Yeah.
Big, strong.
Hill has got a thumb injury. Waddle has been carrying an injury, most of the summer. Beckham hasn't practiced at all. There's your top three, and they're all hurt. Craycraft has got a concussion. There's four. There's your top four receivers. Berrios is your fifth guy. He's the guy that's healthy and was showing up the Buccaneers when you were there the other day. Who is the sixth guy? Is it Ezra Kanma? I would assume it would be. He's barely played in 3 seasons or 2 seasons, and here we are in his third. Tyreek will obviously
And
play because he's
Malik,
got an injury
it's basically
protocol.
been Malik Washington and Ezukama in the absence of the top guys.
But the battle here then, Alf, is that Tyreek obviously makes a team. Jalen obviously makes a team. OBJ makes a team. River makes a team. Braxton makes a team. That's five. I can't see them carrying seven receivers. So does OBJ start on the pup list, for example? Because are they going to cut Ezukama or Malik Washington? I don't think they're going to carry seven receivers. Maybe they are. Maybe they're going to have to because of the way that the injuries are lined up. Maybe they're just going to be forced to carry seven.
Very involved in the install on Wednesday was Odell Beckham Jr. with Mike McDaniel following him around and listening in on the play calls, and then Mike McDaniel giving him instruction on the sidelines. Odell Beckham looks like he's going to be ready to play very, very, very soon. He just hasn't practiced.
Yeah,
He
but
just.
also he's injury prone, so even when he is
Yes.
ready, we know that he's not particularly healthy and certainly hasn't been healthy, historically through his career.
All right. And final thing here before we go to break. Is the thing going to get decided tonight, QB2, or is QB2 not even on the roster right now? Skylar Thompson, Mike White, you got to think that this game is consequential for who actually takes this thing. It's been obvious. Skylar Thompson's been better in practice. Mike White was better than Skylar Thompson in the game last time. He was not better week one. They need a new QB behind Tua, or does this thing get actually decided tonight?
The problem for me is in terms of, do we find a new QB to back up? I just don't think that the offense is so complex. You're asking a guy to come in less than 2 weeks to pick up an offense that is extremely complicated. I just don't think that. I think Skylar Thompson will win the job. Now, again, are they in a position where they're almost forced to keep three quarterbacks because of the injuries to Tua that he's had in the past? This is a difficult question. But then, where does the numbers game add up? So, a good player is going to get knocked on the head because the receiving group isn't healthy enough, or because the quarterbacks, by the very nature of the fact that our QB1 has been injured in the past, you almost have to go with three. So it's a difficult one to predict. I think Skyler will probably win the job. But we shall see. It'll be very interesting. I just find it difficult to think that they're going to bring in a quarterback now who'd be QB2, who'd have to learn the intricate nuance and the hundreds of hours of practice time to get the timing down absolutely perfectly. That's really hard to try and achieve when you're not working with the number ones before, between now and, a week on Sunday.
All right, we're gonna go to break, and when we come back, we will talk about the defense and the battles there. There are a few, and there's one very intriguing one that we will get to immediately. But first, these words.
Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sport. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3YARDS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so premier kitchen, bath, and laundry cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 5-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
All right, and we're back. The defensive line. There's one battle, I think, left to settle inside on the defensive tackle group. Benito Jones finally graced us with his appearance after missing a couple of weeks in training camp. While Brandon Peely is grabbing every single snap and actually playing well in these preseason games, I hypothesized, watch the game tonight. If Brandon Peely does not play tonight, I would think that Benito Jones is in a little bit of danger. You agree?
Yeah, potentially. Potentially, yeah. I mean, I know they like Jones, and, you know, he's, you know, he played well as a starter for 2 years for the Lions. They know him. You know, he's a big body guy, can sit and soak up, you know. But if he's not on the field and not showing what he can do, and Petey's done a pretty decent job. So it will be interesting to see. Again, it's really hard. These are some of the really hard position battles to call. You know, does Benito Jones lose the job? You know, does Brandon, who's done everything that's been asked of him and more, you know, what happens between those two? And, you know, is there room to keep them? And look, we're not, you know, he's been out a while, and we are not privy to those conversations in terms of where they're laying their priorities in terms of that numbers game. You'd like to keep both because you know what Jones can do. He is a proven commodity in this league, you know, and he's somebody that if, you know, if the shit hits the fan in terms of whoever's starting on the defensive line, you know that you've got a really good guy who can come in. There are more question marks about Peely because you just don't have the snaps against number one offensive lineman. You know, how is he going to play week one, you know, against the Jacksonville Jaguars in terms of their offensive line, and how much, and it comes to me, it always comes down to impact. You know, how much impact does player X have? And it's fine to talk about the preseason and all those things, but when push comes to shove, how much impact really and truly is Benito Jones going to have against, you know, Mitch Morse and Brandon Scherr, you know, those guys on the inside of that, Ezra Cleveland, those guys on the inside of that offensive line for the Jaguars, how much impact is he going to have? Because it's okay when you're going up against, you know, the backups and the number threes and the guys that are going to be working in Walmart in 6 months' time. That's okay. What about when you're going up against Tyler Linderbaum and the kid from KC who got paid yesterday and, you know, the great centers of the league? What's, you know, what's going to happen then?
Yeah, and Calais Campbell, I'll say this about Calais Campbell and Zach Sealer. The Bucs could not block those two guys. Calais Campbell just gives me a great deal of confidence. Yeah. How that man is playing the way he's playing. And kind of wrecking the practice yesterday. I gave him the practice player of the day against the Bucks. He was all over the place.
Next time.
Excuse me?
It'll be 38 next week. It's crazy.
Yeah, and if you watch him, like if you were just, you know, if you had no idea who this guy was, you would just show up and say, man, him and that guy, you know, Sealer 92 and that 93, that giant 93 guy, like those guys are spectacular. Who are those guys? Zach Sealer had 2 sacks. Calais Campbell had 1 sack. And then in the simulated portion, knocked down a 4th down pass from Baker Mayfield that got the whole Dolphin sideline running onto the field as they, quote-unquote, won the practice. Calais Campbell looks absolutely fabulous. And I like to say this. The man's 38. Participated in all of camp and in all the joint practices. He's going to get a C on his chest, I think. On Monday, I believe, is when they pick the captains. So yeah. I'm what a signing that was, especially for the minimum. Okay. So he's essentially playing here. And I understand, yeah, you know, $1.2 million is a lot of money for us regular folk. Not for him. He's earned $150 million in his career. Okay. So he's here to play football. He's here to make a run at a Super Bowl. I think Miami is going to be the beneficiary of a great signing in Calais Campbell. He looks fabulous so far.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. This one does have me a little bit concerned. We're going to talk about the inside linebackers here. Anthony Walker, I saw him out there. I can't tell what he's wearing. He keeps wearing sweats, so maybe he has something under his sweats, but it's now 7 practices in a row he misses. And, you know, it's not a fatal, you know, injury here. Because he's linebacker 3, but he takes you from a very deep linebacking group to one that is relying on Duke Riley to be the chief backup to Jordan Brooks and David Long. So are you as concerned as I am about Anthony Walker? And no chance for even Curtis Bolton, right? Who's had a fabulous camp, but the numbers are just stacked up against him.
Yeah, I think the numbers are stacked up, especially with the fact that Channing Tindall has clearly taken a step up, you know, which is finally we'd like to see.
And that the defensive coordinator keeps name-dropping him,
yeah, exactly.
Anthony Weaver. So
absolutely,
that tells you all you need to know.
You just don't have guys who are built with the speed that Tindall has in terms of his ability, certainly to break into the backfield. There's still some hesitation that you see, you know, just his confidence in pulling the trigger. But he's a core special teams guy. He's a guy that has got elite level speed for his position, you know, and he needs to learn to get off blocks a little bit better, but he's doing an okay job at that. And when they use him as a blitzer, you know, you just see what's happening. He is, as Anthony Weaver said the other day, I think he said that he's on the climb. He definitely seems to be one that's turning the corner and is starting to make an impact. And that to me is important. And I think it's necessary because, you know, I just don't know when Walker is going to be able to contribute.
All right, on the edge, guys, and this is before we get to the secondary, where all the intrigue is at. I teased you about that right before the break. On the edge, Jalen Phillips and Chop Robinson look to be the guys to get, you know, the lion's share of the snaps early in the season. Quentin Bell should train on a little bit. Chop Robinson, I spoke to him and I asked him about, you know, about his issues playing the run or whether, you know, he has something to work on. And he was kind of revealing. Like, I put his answer there and he said, yeah, I got to work on getting my hands inside and extending my arms against, you know, the run. If you notice what they're doing to him, and I think that the Falcons, but the Commanders did us a big favor. They decided, you know what? You know how we're going to block Chop Robinson in the run? We're not. And we're going to let him run himself out of plays. I think that's there's some concern there because he has one great trick. He could get to the quarterback. He could run right around tackles. Are you as concerned as I am as far as his technique against the run where, you know, it's just one team and maybe he plays tonight and the Bucks do us the favor by doing the same thing to him that the Commanders did? But are you as concerned as I am with Chop Robinson against the run? Not that he doesn't set the edge, but that he's running himself to the goal line while they're running behind him over and over again.
He's not a good run player. He wasn't a good run player at Penn State, and I don't care what people say. He isn't a good run player. He, you know, and I saw on, you know, I watched most of the game live on Saturday night, and I saw the play in which he had the big tackle for a loss. And, you know, you had people all over social media going, oh, my God, what a play, what a play. And it was like, was it, you know, was it? Because he literally was unblocked and ran, you know, straight into a guy who was literally taking a handoff. Yeah.
And that was the Commander's plan. The Commander's plan was like, don't block him because he's running himself right out of the play every time. So don't block him.
The speed was what got him to the back in time. And, you know, that's the thing that the Commander's probably underestimated. But, you know, this is part of the problem with social media. That got blown up to be, wow, what an amazing job. What a player. He, you know, and yeah, good tackle, good play. You know, nice. You got the guy down, tackle for a loss. But, you know, you weren't beating anybody. You literally didn't touch another human being before you got to the running back. You know, you didn't have to get past anybody. You didn't have to use your hands. You didn't have to lock out. You didn't have to swim past. You didn't have to push pull. You didn't have to do whatever you do. You didn't have to set the edge. You didn't have to use your body strength. You didn't have to sink your hips. All of those things. Okay. You know, so show me, you know, when he's taking on, you know, the big tackles in the run game and holding up at the point of attack, sinking his hips, using his lower body weight and power to control the tackle so that he's forcing, you know, the running back to turn inside. Show me that on week one or in week one when he's doing that, you know, against those big Jaguars tackles to the point where, you know, he's showing Cam Robinson or Walker Little or Anton Harrison that he's dominating them so much there, being that the back is being forced, that Tank Bigsby and Etienne and Dearness Johnson, et cetera, are being forced back inside because Chop is holding the point of attack. When he does that, then we'll talk. But at this point, he is not a good run player and teams will take advantage of that. What they can't counter is the speed if you leave him unblocked and the ability to be an absolute agent of chaos in the backfield. And he's certainly shown flashes of being a really good player. I know that he had good reps against Tristan Wirfs at the weekend, through the week, which is extremely encouraging. And, you know, in terms of his pure pass rushing ability, you know, he has explosion and ability you cannot teach, but there are things that wily offensive minds will take advantage of. And that will be the difficult thing for the Dolphins as the season kicks off, because obviously they need to make sure that he's not going to get run over. And whether or not that's, you know, how much Ogba plays, how much Jalen plays in terms of his comeback. Obviously, we're not going to see Bradley early on in the season, but that'll be interesting to monitor as we move forward.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if they count on Emmanuel Ogba and Mo Kamara on early downs opposite of Jalen Phillips, and they use Chop Robinson and Quentin Bell sparingly early on. Maybe Quentin Bell is the one who trains on to get a lot of those snaps, and Chop Robinson is a third down guy to start the season. But yeah, his issues playing the run, well documented. Hopefully he plays tonight and the Bucks do the same thing that the Commanders did, and that way he could train on with what most teams are going to do. Most teams are just not going to block him, because you don't have to devote resources to block him, because he is going to run himself out of plays. Moving on to the cornerbacks, good news on Ethan Bonner. He's off the concussion protocol. He was suited up, padded up, taped up, and participated and had a good practice against the Bucks and their group. And that was good to see. They had Mike Evans. They had Chris Godwin out there. So they got to get tested. The bad news is that Cam Smith was back in a very familiar spot wearing a ball cap and not padded up. That guy, he just can't stand prosperity. He has a decent stretch in that game against the Commanders, and then he's back finding an injury. But with Ethan Bonner, Jalen Ramsey, Kendall Fuller, you seem to have enough for the outside. Also, Kader Kohu, who is a lock for the team. This Ramsey, is a good group.
Ramsey injured himself. Cam Smith injured. You know, need him coming off the injury. You know, Saran Neal's an excellent team player. He's an excellent special teamer, but as proven against Washington, you do not want him one-on-one outside against somebody. He got beaten on a pretty simplistic route, on a corner ball in the end zone, which ended up being dropped. But you know, that is not a situation. You know, if I'm a quarterback and I see Saran Neal one-on-one on the outside, I'm going after that guy every single snap.
Yeah, and you know, the good news on those guys is that, you know, as far as Fuller and Ramsey, they participated against the Bucks. Ramsey was talking up a storm. He's worth the price of admission in a practice. You know, he'll make you blush a little bit. Like, he was talking to other guys on the Bucks. Not Mike Evans, though. Like, they were very chummy. You know, I guess they both, you know, they're veterans, yeah, headed for the Hall of Fame. They're going to be chummy. But everybody else was getting lip from Ramsey. Now, here is the well, it's not a $1 million question. It's about a $65,000 question, because that's what these guys are going to earn in guaranteed money if they make the team. Isaiah Johnson, Storm Duck, Jason Maitre, they've done nothing wrong. Most teams, those guys make the team. I think it's entirely possible. By the way, the next pass that Jason Maitre gives up will be his first in preseason. And Storm Duck is, and I know that, you know, we're not, you know, PFF is not the gospel, but they consider Storm Duck the best cornerback in preseason so far. Isaiah Johnson, Storm Duck, Jason Maitre, in my opinion, I think it's entirely possible they cut all three and then bring back all three on the practice squad if they can. Your thoughts on this? Is there a possibility that one of them sneaks onto the team?
Yeah,
on the initial 53?
Yeah, I think one of them makes the team. I think the other two go on the practice squad, and we end up with one on the practice squad because the other one gets pilfered. If I was a betting man, I'd say Duck makes the team, Johnson goes to the practice squad and gets pinched, and Maitre stays on the practice squad.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing, man. 6'3", 205 pounds, that length and that, and the tape he's put on, he's physical, he's grabby in the right spots, especially in the red zone, defending fades against the very best players too. It's not, you know, he wasn't, you know, he's not playing against, you know, bad players. He was out there against Mike Evans, competing with Mike Evans on one-on-ones. You know, that's going to be noticed, and other teams know it too. The Falcons got a very long look at those guys. You expose them, Falcons are a little thin at cornerback. They might take one for the back end of their group.
Yeah.
All right, finishing up here, the safeties. Patrick McMorris. They got to find a way. But
yeah,
if they find a way, you're talking about five safeties to keep?
I mean, to me, the question is, does Marcus May make the team?
He's made the team. Anthony Weaver was raving about him, rave reviews about Marcus May, his last availability. And he keeps getting a load of snaps.
So we're saying Holland, Campbell, Poyer, May, McMorris.
Yes, five guys. That's a lot.
I don't think they'll cut McMorris. And they obviously won't cut Campbell, obviously won't cut Holland. Poyer and May. Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, it's tough. All right, last battle. This one, you've watched it because you've watched it live in these games. This has been completely under the radar, but it's a real one. Jake Bailey and Jason Sanders head-to-head for who gets the kickoff duties. In my opinion, Jake Bailey's ahead. Who ultimately wins this thing? Because I think that's coming down to the wire because they're undecided. If you watch practice, they share the snaps.
Yeah,
now, as of late, Jason Sanders is a little bit ahead. Who wins that battle on the kickoff? Because it's important this year. It's consequential. It's the difference between 25-yard line and 30-yard line. So you're playing with 5 yards every time you kick off.
I haven't seen any of practice, obviously, so I would suspect that Sanders does it because it's more natural for him kicking the way that he kicks. So I would suspect Sanders to win it. And also, because he was a soccer player as well, I suspect Sanders wins the battle ultimately.
Yeah, and they have this new – they have a new strategy that Danny Crossman, I guess, developed where he's kind of squibbing it, but he's squibbing it with a spin. Because remember, you can't squib it through into the end zone because then the ball goes to the 30-yard line.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you saw the last game, both guys tried it. Jake Bailey kicked it right through into the end zone. Jason Sanders squibbed it with some English, and it bounced at the 5-yard line and forced them to pick it up. And if you remember, the return got out to the 21-yard line, so very successful kick. So that could be a new strategy. I thought it was fascinating that Danny Crossman said, give it 4 weeks because nobody's showing anything that they're going to do on these kickoffs. So we shall see.
Yeah.
Next week, when we talk to you, we will have a 53-man roster and we will preview the season. The following week, we will talk Jacksonville Jaguars. But next week, we will have a new roster and a lot of these battles and a lot of these questions will be answered and we will talk about it. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.